would rejoice and be glad. And we declare, Lord, as the disciples declared, the sons of thunder, it's just good to be here. And we honor you, for you are God. And so, God, I pray again that you would open the eyes and ears of this people, stir their hearts, draw them nearer, give them what they need that they might gain all that you're giving. Father, hear our prayers. Bless indeed. And give me now, Lord, what I need to help them, that we might help each other. Forgive us, sir, of our sins and have mercy. We're trying to do the best we know how. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's give God some praise together. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on, you can do it. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. The Lord is. Amen. Grab your Bibles, your tablets, your smartphones, your iPads and tabs, Kindle, whatever you got. Be it high dollar or economic brand, just turn it on. Pull up your Bible app. I have a New Living Translation. Pray that you can find one of those, a Message, a King James, New King James, NIV, MSG, CP3. I don't know. Something that'll get you to the Word. Amen. There's a link for it or something. If you don't have none of them things, just look over on somebody else's paper like you did in high school. Amen. How many of you can testify that if it had not been for your neighbor's paper, where would you be? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Ain't neither both of us doing homework. You just do it and bring it tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. In the book of Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, just a few verses I want to share, and we'll be on our way quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. Thank you for being here today. It makes all the difference when all of you are here. Feels better, doesn't it? New Living Translation says at verse 1, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all one body. We have the same Spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father, who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to look again at verse 1 and verse 7 together. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. Do me a favor, brothers and sisters, if you would just look over at your neighbor. I have asked you in the past weeks to find someone with an agreeable spirit so that you don't wind up talking to folk who don't want to talk to you. It makes this go along a little better. But if you can find someone yet once again with an agreeable spirit and look at them and say, neighbor, he's been better to me. Amen. God bless you. I am convinced that God loves us. Now, I know that may seem trivial to some of you that have been in the body of Christ for an extended period of time, but I just thought it would be worth mentioning that I am convinced that God loves us. I'm convinced that God loves us with a love that is not compromised, nor is it a love that is conditional. In fact, David reminds us that God is rather generous. David says that the Lord would do things like prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God is so meticulous and so well-rounded and so hospitable that he anoints our head with oil and allows our cup to run over. Then David says things like, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And he says that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I said God loves us. If there is a certainty that I have come to know about God, it is the simple certainty that the Lord is faithful. Some of y'all didn't hear me. I said it's a simple certainty. It's not complex. It does not require degrees. It does not require that you stay after school to get this one. This is just right on the surface. It's on its face that the Lord is faithful. And his faithfulness is best evidenced in our faithfulness unto him. I mean, come on, if God's going to be good to you, you ought to be good to him. If God's going to be faithful to you, you ought to be faithful to him. If God is reliable for you, you ought to be reliable to him. It kind of works better like that. And so he is just so God like that. And Paul says that in light of these considerations that we have observed of God, wouldn't it make sense for us to live our lives in a worthy manner? What he's saying is we ought to up our game a little bit. And he says that I am so convinced that it's good for you that I'll even beg you to do it. Mm-hmm. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, brothers and sisters, you do know that God is holy and God is mighty and God is all of these things. And he says, in light of these things, would you give it your prayerful consideration? Would you give it your prayerful attention that you change how you live? You do know he talks to the church at Corinth and he tells them that old things will pass away and all things will be made new. Nudge your neighbor and say, I can use some of that. I'd like to get rid of some old things and get me some new things. And it's that kind of God that we serve. God is a good concealer of poor reputation. God will... Jess, you're all right with that. God is, I better say it again, just like that part. I'll say it again. God is a concealer of poor reputation. In other words, nudge your neighbor and tell him, you have no idea. You don't know everything about me like you think you do. Amen. God is a concealer of poor reputation. In fact, we thank God that old things do pass away. God buries them in places where shovels are forbidden to come.
God has a way of making folk forget how rotten you used to be. God has a way of shadowing us so that the real us won't even show up in church. God has a way of tempering us that our hands won't come out of our pockets and our feet won't raise up off the floor. Look at your name and say, I thank God. And he said, well, what you thinking? Listen, honey, don't get me started. Paul reminds us that we have to learn how to live better. And some might have questioned him as to saying, well, Paul, why? Because he's been better to me. And I know the cliche version of the church would have us to say, then I've been to myself. I'll let you fill that in for yourself. But he's been good to us. And so, Linda, I thought that as we were approaching Christmas, we were getting close. I told you that we'd spend these last few weeks trying to encourage ourselves and to realize that man, we got it going on. Listen, we got it like that. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, I told you. We got it like that. And the only reason we don't shout appropriately in that statement is because sometimes we don't realize how good we got it. I'm telling you now, that grandmama and them was right when they told you, every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, something inside of me says it's celebration time. Every time I'm not thinking about cars or houses. I'm thinking I can get my foot on the floor. I'm thinking I can open my eyes. I can lift up my hand. I can taste my food. I can bathe myself. I can comb my hair. I can walk and talk a little bit. Every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he, God has. I got to shout, shake, and shimmy. I got to let him know that I appreciate what you do for me, because you didn't have to do it. I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave. You could have cut me off among the living. But God, you look beyond my faults and you met my every need. And that's worth shouting about. That's worth waving about. That's worth telling him, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because God has been better to me. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. I tried him for myself. He's been good. Them little fat Campbell soup girls got it right. He's been Sometimes I can't find the words to describe what I'm trying to tell you. So I'll just say, my. God, thank you. You've been good to me. When I didn't have a job, I didn't go hungry. Somehow or another, the light stayed on. Somehow or another, that old car kept running. Somehow or another, I'm still here. So he says, you ought to start living your life better. You ought to start walking worthy. Because God has been better. So he says, you do know that you're going to be all right. Can I say that again? I know some of you may be in the midst of a struggle. But can I tell you something that maybe they don't want me to tell you? All of us struggling. Some of us have just learned how to struggle better than other folk. But it ain't easy for none of us. But you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Why? Because all right is what he said you'd be. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, you've already come. Come on now. You didn't get here unscathed. You, all of us got scars, and all of us have lost some things along the journey. But thank you, God, I'm all right. Don't feel sorry for me. Just shout with me. Don't look at me like that. Just shout with me. Because, honey, I'm here to tell you that the Lord will make a way. Come on now. He said, you have to understand that there are certain promises that are irrevocable. Irrevocable. Two versions of the same word. Depends on what school you went to, Harvard or Dartmouth, whatever. He says, listen, I'm just of the mindset that when you think about the goodness of the Lord, that you ought to live your life different. If you've been with God, you ought to live your life different. If you trust God, you ought to live your life different. If you read about him and talked about him, you ought to live your life different. There ought to be something about us that separates wheat from tares. There ought to be something about righteous and unrighteous, something about holy and unholy, something about sanctified and unsanctified. Something about us ought to make us live different. Paul said that God has made some plans for you. And what God has planned and what God has planted and what God has purposed will come to pass. I was going to use those three as my preaching points, but they seem too easy. Because all of us have walked around at one time or another and made plans. Can I get my planning folk to just wave at me? Mm-hmm. And how many of you that have made plans, your plans didn't go according to plan? Look at your name and say, now ain't that something? I believe it was Marvin Gaye that says, no, I won't say what he said. Miss Davis waiting on it. She's sitting in unfolded arms. Come on with this one. Let me see where you're going. But you know, God is a thorough God. I'm just about finished. God is thorough. He makes these plans for us. And here's what I understand, Deacon Davis. I think God is giving us an inside tip that we're going to mess the thing up, because he said, I know the plans. If I tell y'all, anybody have been around folk that everything is fine and dandy until you tell them the plan? God done it all. If I hadn't told y'all the plan, we'd have been just fine. There are some folk you can't tell, N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Don't look around the room presently. I mean, he said, I've made these plans. They're plans to prosper you. See, that's why I know he's been better. God says, I've got everything just fine and dandy for you. If you just walk this way and talk this way and stay inside the yard. Any of y'all remember when mama used to say, don't you go out the yard? Anybody ever know that every time you went out the yard, what happened? Any of y'all ever had your mama say, see, if you'd have done what I told you, nothing would have happened to you. And you want to say back to them, I couldn't help myself. But the fact of the matter is, that's really what God is saying to us. Stay in the yard. Don't go down yonder. Stay right here and watch what I'll do with you. And then God invests in us. He plants. The Bible says if you reap what you sow. Well, now you got to think about how that goes, because Bible said, if you sow sparingly, how many of you ever cheated yourself? Mm-hmm. If you sow sparingly, you going to reap. You can't get no more out than you put in. But here's what I love about God. He has put so much in us that he knows what he's going to get out of us. That's why I get excited about God's special gifts. He planted, and then he purposed in us. All of us are here for a very purposeful reason. Look at your name and say, oh, when my purpose comes to pass. I hope I ain't too old to endure it. Some of y'all done made God put y'all on the recycle plan. In y'all youth, y'all were too busy living your life. Now that you're old and can't do much, you want to tell God about I'm available. Well, he says, I have purpose. God says, listen, I put you here for a reason. And in your heart, some of us know that we might have been a little seasonally challenged, but God can catch us on the late side. Look at your name and say, I'm still here. Everything God has done has divine order to it. And so in what Paul says to them is first of all, let's look at the qualitative issues of our lives. What are we doing? What are we doing now in light of the fact that we know that he's been so good? He says, what are we going to do different? Because in the old church, we would say things like it will come to pass. In other words, it's bound to happen. It's going to happen. Why? Because God's will be done. Now, this is where I make my transition. God's will be done does not allow you the right nor privilege to interfere with the divine work that is being accomplished in you. What are you saying? I'm saying you need to get out of God's way and let God have his way. You are disciple. You're not the principal owner. You're not in charge of anything. You're under orders. And if you really want to live the blessed life, you got to let his will be done. Y'all might have quiet. Now see, if I'd have told you, you're going to open a business or you're going to win the lottery, you'd be shouting right now. But you got to get out of God's way. Let God's will be done concerning you. What are you saying, Pastor? Stop looking over your neighbor's fence. Sweep around your own back door. Mind your own business and let God work in you. Darlene, they rolling their eyes at me. I don't understand it. It's good Bible. Thy will be done concerning me. How do you say on one side of your mouth what God has for me is for me, and then you're on the other side of your mouth going, you don't deserve that. Mind your own business. Let God lift you up and quit tearing other folk down. Stop being envious and jealous of folk. God blessing all of us. Am I right about it? Shucks, we're getting along very well because God is in charge. His will be done. And God says, just pursue it. Go after it. Every day of our lives, we ought to be going after our purpose. That's why the Bible reminds us that once we put our hands to the plow, we'll not look back. We can't look to the left nor to the right. We got to be focused. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on purpose. You got to go forward. Why are you looking back trying to go forward? Too many of us are stumbling and tripping and falling because we're looking in the wrong direction. Go forward. Press toward the mark is what Paul would say. Go forward. Some of you are not old enough to remember this one. Darren, Stevie J, you don't know nothing about this. James, Adrian, you don't know. Eric, you might remember. You remember Kung Fu? I mean, David Carradine, not Kung Fu like the kind in the movies, man. Y'all remember when we used to go to see them Bruce Lee movies and stuff? Everybody come out like they know Kung Fu. You know, people, you know, stand on the bus stop, yah, 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 until we mess around and hit somebody for real. Oops, sorry about that. But there's a segment when Kung Fu used to come on and young David Carradine, Grasshopper, you remember he was Grasshopper. The old sage, old Buddhist monk looked at him and said, when you can walk across the paper and not tear up the rice paper, when you can walk, then you can leave. What he didn't tell him is you got to hold that hot pot before you go. But my point is this, when you can tread the path that is designed for you, God Almighty, what you can do. Too many of us are not staying on the path. And then concern ourselves about being lost all the time. Go this way. You cannot walk around talking about he walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. And you traveling in wide places all the time. We don't know where to find you. Sometimes you're here, sometimes you're there, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you're with us, sometimes you're against us. Lord, you got us all confused. He says, pursue it. I have plans for you. If you follow God, you will always meet with potential, promise, and power. I was going to use those two, but they were simple. Because God has already given us potential. How does the church keep saying, if God be for us, he's more and do nothing? How can the church keep saying, God will and do nothing? How does the church say we have power and do nothing? How does the church stand on promise, power, and potential and do nothing? God is saying to us, get it right. You can do all things through Christ. You have been promised. You have the power. Your problem is you procrastinate, you're pathetic, and you're always pouting. He said, you know I've been good. Why are you making these excuses? I've already given you everything. What else can I do? And you know what I love about God, Deacon McKenzie? He'll do that too. Can I get three or four folk to raise their hand and admit that God has gone the extra mile? Amen. You have caused God to go the extra mile. And he says, I'll do it because I love you. And so he says, well, I understand. And then he comes along in the middle of it now. We're just right there. He said, listen, we've all been called to the same thing. You do know there ain't going to be no separate heavens. Our glorious future requires that we learn how to get along now so we can get along then. One heaven, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is no Pentecostal God. There is no apostolic faith. There is no baptism in the Kojic life that is not in every life. We do that to ourselves that we might feel superior to others who cannot haba shaba haba like we can, who cannot buy oil in quantities like we can, or because they can cut a step and we can't. Marvin Gaye was right. You cannot go out and just stand around. You got to get out there. Whatever your step is, baby, that's your step. Whatever your song is, that's your song. Whatever your testimony, that's your testimony. Stop letting folk minimize whom God has maximized. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, I am the real deal. You got the same potential, same promise, same power. You got to make a decision how to live with all that. You got all that and you ain't doing nothing. We go from church conference to church conference and do nothing. We go to prayer meeting after prayer meeting and do nothing. We travel all over the Commonwealth looking for the magic pill. There is no magic pill. We got to have just the right choir and just the right pastor and just the right deacon. We got all that. We just ain't doing nothing. Well, you know, when three or four of the right people join the church, we're going to be just fine. We got three or four of the right people now. They just ain't doing nothing. All of the potential, all the power. One glorious future. One God. You know, we all praying to the same God. You do know that, don't you? We all have the same faith. What was that? Holy Ghost said, no, they don't. Because some of you lack faith. Oh, you didn't know it was going to get personal for a moment? It is going to get personal. Nudge your neighbor and say, I knew it was going to happen. You got to mess it up sometime. Now, some of us don't have faith. You cannot tell me that the just live by faith and just do nothing. You cannot tell me that all of us have a measure of faith and we got zero balances. No, some of y'all don't have faith. See how quiet it is long through here? That's some of y'all that don't have faith. See how quiet it still is long through here? Some of y'all mad because I'm talking about your lack of faith. See how people looking at their shoes now? Because you don't want to look at me because I'm looking at you. Looking at me, not looking at you, looking at your shoes. Because I'm talking about faith. And here is the summary argument of it all. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Is he trying to say we ain't pleasing God? I think he is. You don't please God by not being faithful to the ministry. You don't please God by not coming to worship. You don't please God when you don't tithe. You don't please God when you can't love your neighbor. You don't please God when you're not obedient. You don't please God when you're thriving, or excuse me, the lack of thriving because you're dwelling in ignorance. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who said that? I heard somebody say, please move on. No. This is critical here. We're at the close of the matter because without faith, you cannot say the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard. Without faith, you cannot say it is my cross to bear. Without faith, you cannot say we're making progress. You cannot say we're climbing the upward way. You cannot say every round goes high and high. You cannot say these things without faith. And so he says, here is the close of the matter. However, everybody has been gifted. Pastor, you have thoroughly confused us now. No, you have confused yourself. The word however is the difference maker. Because Paul lists these things and talks about the character of discipleship life. He talks about what it means for us to get firm understandings of what God is doing and why. And then he says, everybody's got something special. That's you. Everybody in the room has got something special. Let me see if I can draw you in. In this moment in time, all of us need to take inventory. I need you to take inventory very quickly. It's quarter till. I've got to let you go. Very quickly, take inventory. Because here's what Paul tells the church at Philippi, Jesse, that makes sense to me. He tells the church at Philippi, he says, he who has begun a great work in you. There is your plant, excuse me, your plan, your plant, and your promise. There is your potential. There is your power. There is your prosperity. There is your progress. God has started something in every one of you. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you join the right church, not when you go to the right conference, not when they lay hands on you. God has already started a great work in. He's done it. Already. I got it. Paul tells the church of Philippi, he says, listen, here's what you need to understand. None of this stuff is going to die. None of this stuff is going to go dry. None of this stuff is going to run out until the day that Christ says it is done. And here's what I love about it. This is cute. This is too cool to be fooled. That the Lord says through Paul's ministry that he will carry. You know what God is saying? I got you. Anybody ever had somebody come along and say, hey, I got you? Come on now, you ain't got the right kind of friend. Everybody needs somebody who will come and say, hey, I got you. You know, here you are standing in the lunch line. You left your lunch money home. They got pizza that day. The big kind. And he said, man, he said, where you going, man? I got you. You at the gas station. you know, put some gas in the whip, the hoopty. He said, oh, somebody come on. Say, what's up, man? Man, I got you. Everybody need it. I got you. I see it in the text. The Lord is saying, I started this thing. I will sustain this thing. I will strengthen this thing. I will bring survivability to this thing. I am God. Bobby McFerrin, come here. Bobby McFerrin said, don't worry. Be happy. Nudge your neighbor and said, I'm feeling something right along through here. Because I just discovered that God is not finished with me yet. I'm getting ready to turn the corner. God is still working on me. I feel a little happiness coming. God is still investing in me. I've made some mistakes. I dropped the ball. I fumbled. I ran out of bounds. I let the clock tick down. I ran out of timeouts. But God is not finished with me yet. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't count me out yet. There's still time. Because when I rose this morning, I feel my help now. When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew the Lord, not my mama, not my sister, not my daddy, not my wife. I knew that the Lord, tell your neighbor, I got some help now. Because the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my God. I knew the Lord would bring me out. I've been struggling over here. I've been suffering over there. But I look to the hills from which cometh my help, knowing my help comes from the Lord. I'm going to be all right, because the God I serve is a rescue God. He's a redemptive order God. He's a reconciliation God. He is a restore me God. Come here, David. David said, I messed up. I'm still the king. I'm still living in the castle. I still got maids. I still got servants. But I lost my joy. But I fell on my face and I cried unto God. I didn't ask him to put more money in the treasury. I didn't ask him to build me a new castle. I just said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I just want another chance. I want God to be good to me again. I want to feel like I used to feel. I want to do like the old folks said. I want to run on and see what the end shall be. I want to give God the glory, because I want to be able to tell him how much I appreciate how he has been to me, better than a father, better than a mother. I wish I had one witness that can tell somebody, I've changed my mind. I've decided that in light of God's goodness, in light of God's grace, in light of God's mercy, I am going to do better. I'm going to take my gifts, not cast my pearls to the swine, but I'm going to make good use of everything God has given me. And because God has already opened up the windows of heaven and poured me out a blessing, I've got so much to be thankful for. In fact, neighbor, if you don't mind, I want to run down inventory. He woke me up this morning. Check. Started me on my way. Check. He put a clapping in my hand. Check. Running in my feet. Gave me a song. Check. I want to ask somebody, has God been good to you? Is there anybody here that can tell your neighbor, he's been better to me than I've been to myself? I just got one question. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Say neighbor, you got to pick them up and put them down. You got to press your way. You got to fight the good fight. Stay right there just a little while longer. The brook may be dry, the famine in the land, but the God you serve will show up, show out. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, while you're waiting, keep on shouting. While you're waiting, keep on praying. While you're waiting, keep on singing. While you're waiting, keep on serving. Because after a while, by and by,
God will. God will. God will. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say
he will. There's a promised bounty on your life. Nudge at least three people and tell them, I ain't finished yet. I may be slow, but I'm still moving. I may not be as loud as I used to be, but I'm still saying something. I may not know what you know, but I remember some things. I ain't finished yet. For greater is he. I said, greater is he. I said, greater is he that is in me. Woo! Greater is he that is in me. I got something on the inside telling me to run on. Something on the inside telling me to try again. Something on the inside is saying, pick yourself up, wipe your snotty nose, drive your tears, and get back out there. Try it again, 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 because after a while, after a while, victory is mine. Victory is mine. There's a winner in you. I said there's a winner in you. So what? You didn't get the job. There's a winner in you. Fill out another application. So what if they repossess the car? Go down to J.D. Byrider and try again. So what if they told you you got to move? So what if they told you your loan request has been denied? So what? Matter of fact, for the next 72 hours, you got to learn how to tell some things. So what? Because the God you serve, Mrs. Scott, Mrs. Price, Mrs. McKenzie, Brother Davis, Sister Laura, put your fingers in your ears. I'm about to mess up the English language once more and again by telling you that God ain't through with you yet. God ain't through. You're still breathing, aren't you? You're still breathing, aren't you? Then God ain't through. There's still hope. In the words of my friend and deacon from the California church on the West Coast, Deacon Miyagi, when he sold Daniel's son, I have a hope for you, Daniel's son. I have a hope for you. God ain't through yet. You got some special stuff. You got some stuff you ain't used yet. And he's going to sustain it. He's going to keep it. You didn't come this far to quit. Can we stand on our feet together? God's been better to us. Now is the time for us to return the ministry favor to him by doing better. I like the Nike commercial. Present advertisement discipline says, just do it. Just do it. You can't sit around and worry about all of the small things. When God says go, just start walking. Because everything that you need, God's going to put it in place. Anybody ever started out just trusting God and Looked like every time you got to a critical place, God had put something in place. And you can't say nothing but ooh-wee, another blessing. God says, just trust me. When Moses left Egypt, because he didn't want to go to jail and face trial, he had no idea. No, nobody had ever prophesied over him. Nobody ever told him, said, boy, when you leave Egypt, good things are going to open up. No, he left Egypt on a bad note. Went out there in the desert. You know, some things happen in places where you don't expect them to happen. Some of you are in a desert now, and you're thinking that only death comes in a desert. No. God has a way of pulling a desert whoop-de-doo. Next thing you know, when Moses comes back, he's no longer known as a felon. They remind one another, is that not Moses? He is now referred to as the prince of Egypt. Walks in with his staff and got Aaron there walking beside him. Come back and said, look here, he got an armor bearer. He must be something. That's how you know you're something, when you got an armor bearer. Maybe that's what I ain't nothing yet. I got an armor bearer. Stevie J, come down and be my armor bearer. I want a man from far away. You're hired. You're on the job. Get up here. No. Moses walks in and they said, notice, Moses didn't have an appointment and got to see Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, well, look here, who's this here coming up through my way? Moses said, 'tis I, Moses. He said, well, now, don't that beat the band. Moses said, you're about to find out the music. But notice how God used him. Nobody told him it was going to be like that. Moses was an orphan. Poor Moses. Nudge your name, Jim. Don't feel sorry for me. God ain't through yet. You sitting there worrying about that job I lost, and you thinking, honey, look here. As long as Jesus is Lord, he'll turn it around. Won't he do it? He'll turn it around. So here it is. You got a gift. So what are we going to do with it? Well, again, let's go back and think of all the wonderful things that we desire for kingdom. And it is this people that God is going to use. Stop looking up the road waiting on somebody else to come along. It's us. It's right here, right now. I guarantee you, in this room, everything we need starts right now. It's right here. You cannot keep expecting somebody to come along and save you. You got to save yourself. The aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit is visible in the lives of those who are doing the work. And I'm telling you now, we can do all things because he's been better to us. In fact, today when you leave, it's right at 1 o'clock, take inventory of how wonderful God has been to you. I mean, take inventory, don't cheat. Let me tell you where to start at zero, because you brought nothing in this world, and look at what you got now. Don't you tell me God ain't been faithful. Don't you tell me God hadn't been good. Don't you tell me God hadn't blown your mind. All of that is because he loves you. All of them two-piece Donna Karen suits, all that extra hair you got over there, them nails, the cars, your children, some of y'all got 4 or 5 of them. Boy, God love you. Ooh, look at here. When God started loving me past 3, I said, hold up on the love, Lord. It's getting a little touchy here. But he loves us. Look at our wives and husbands. Look at your friends. Maybe you got friends who will come great distances and go to church with you. God has blessed you. That's a blessing. Look at sisters, these sisters here, and look at that, three deep. One row belongs to you. God, look at what God gave you, a whole row. Ain't that something? God loves you. Amen. Wait till the grandbabies start coming. Yes, sir. You have two rows. Amen. Look around and see the friends you've made down through the years. God loves you. Some of y'all ain't gonna never have a moment alone because you got all these friends. God loves you. You can look at your hands like the old folks said. See, they had simple ministry. They said, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. Looked at my foots and they did too. That means folk used to take their shoes off in church. Amen. God has been good to us. Matter of fact, just touch at least three people and tell them, thank you for blessing me. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Boy, God gave me you. Wow. I didn't know I had it so good. Boy, when I look around and take inventory, some of y'all gonna need several sheets of paper to finish this thing. Amen. And to God be the glory. If you've not accepted Jesus as the Savior of your life, I want to invite you to come because he wants to bless you. Paul says, we've been called to this. That means nobody got left out. We talked about it in Christian Academy this morning. We used to be out there on the field picking teams. You know, you didn't want to not get picked. And then sometime when you got picked, you'd rather had not been picked. But nobody wants to be left out, you know. I remember when I was growing up down south there, you know, most of the time I was the captain because I had it like that. I could pick my own team. More importantly, the equipment mostly belonged to me. When you own the equipment, you always get to pick. But man, we were also, man, you know, we were competitive. Man, we'd go at it. And we would get so competitive, we wind up fighting among ourselves. But at the end of the day, we all sat down and ate honey drippers and honey buns together. We were friends. We had each other. God gave us that. And now I tell you, the God you serve is richly blessed you. But you got to have relationship. And so I encourage you to come to Jesus just now. This is not about Greater Brookville Church, but this is about your life and him who gave you life. All of us are here because of the grace of God. No, nobody's perfect. Nobody in here that hadn't done something wrong. Everybody in here got something they don't want somebody to know. Tell them, don't look at you like that. That's right, because we ain't going to talk about that. Let's just get on to something else, Reverend. Just sit down. But let me tell you something. Jesus loves you so much that he doesn't want you to die in your sin. How many of you can testify that you're so thankful that the Lord didn't catch you some places? Gave you a way of escape, didn't he? Some of y'all got too excited about that. I won't mention it again. But come to Jesus just now. Would you come while our doors are open? We don't want to hold you unnecessarily long, but this is really about Christ. He died that you would live, and he already promised you that there is a place for you if you'll just say yes. I tell you, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I want to live long enough to get on some folk nerve. I can tell you that right now. But when I die, I believe the promises of God. I don't want to miss out on that old song they sing, oh, I want to see him look upon his face. I want to be like they talk about that great number and the cloud of witnesses. I want to see all of that. So I said yes. And I want to encourage you to say yes. So you can be there too. I'm going to need at least three people to high five with when I get to heaven. So I want to be somebody I know. So y'all come on, go with me. You know, so when we get there, we can say, ooh, look here. Pastor, I didn't think it was going to be like this. And I'm going to look at you and say, hush, please.
I'm taking it all in. Let's give our lives to Christ today. Not run out of here thinking I can come back next week. Let's do it right now. The doors of the church are open to Christian discipleship, that you would give your life to Christ. Is there somebody today? A young man, a young woman, somebody, seasoned veteran. You've been hanging around long enough. Now you need to make that decision. You need to decide today. Are you here? If you have done that and you just need to be refreshed and you want to be reinstated because you've fallen off a bit, just want to say, you know what, Pastor? I thank God he let me live long enough to make another decision. I just want to get back in the right fellowship. I want to get back into the body of Christ. So I want to be reconciled, that God would forgive me and allow me to come closer. Our invitation is to you as well, just to say, God, I'm here. That old song we used to sing, say, he didn't have to let me live. He didn't have to let me live. But he did. And I'm convinced that you're still alive for purpose. Would you come? And lastly, again, we say to you, our doors are open to Christian discipleship, that we would be a part of the quality of your life. You're looking for a church home, our doors are open, that you can come and be a part of the Greater Brookville family. Because I am still convinced, and nobody's going to change my mind, that we got something to offer that will change your life. If you'll come and learn with us, if you'll come and listen with us, watch what God is going to do. Our doors are open. If all of you are at peace with the place that you are, but you have determined in your spirit today that you are going to do that inventory and do better, would you just come and pray with us? Just move out in the aisle. Ask your neighbor to give you a little passageway. It's right at the time for us to be going on about our business, I guess, for the furtherance of ministry. Some of you have made great plans for the day, and we don't want you to change those plans. Some of us have already thought of 5 or 6 people that we're going to call. I'm going to hook up with them and say, you know, the pastor said today that God ain't finished with you yet. There's still room for you. There's still time. If I ever get another chance, I'm going to do better. And he's a God of many chances. Am I right about that? Some of the very people that you're standing next to can tell you that the Lord gave me another chance. Man, I'm so thankful God didn't cut me off, but he gave me another chance. And as I said to you, God will strengthen. God will sustain. God will bring success even out of your greatest failure. God will bring success. I know he will. Because he's God, just like that. You know what I know about God that I'm willing to tell you? He'll forgive you. Yes, sir. Listen, some folk ain't gonna never speak to you again. They done washed their hands with bleach and talking about, I'm through and I'm done. Tell them thank you, appreciate it. Because you obviously were never meant to be in my life anyway. You can leave so readily, you must not have been designed to be here. Because the Bible declares that a friend will stick close. In fact, the real value of a friend is that you'll lay down your life. Now that's some kind of humdinger right there. And I know most of us standing around here don't know 3 people like that. But thank you, Lord. I think I know somebody I can call in a pinch that'll go down and dirty with me. Amen. His name is Jesus. I know some of y'all were thinking, ooh, Pastor, getting ready to call my name. No, I'm not. Unless your name Jesus, I can count on the Lord. Amen. As 1 or 2 of y'all I might call after the 3rd call, but the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost get my first 3 quarters. They don't even use a quarter. They don't even have them kind of things no more, do they? Lord, if you ain't got a cell phone, you won't be calling nobody. Better lift up your voice toward the Lord. Thank you for holding hands with people today, and thank you for encouraging them. If you'll just do me a favor and squeeze that hand very gently, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that's where your strength lies, in the Lord. Father, we thank you today for these who are standing around this sacred place, from the windows to the walls, from door to door. We're in the house of our God. And we have gone through our trials and tribulations. We've had setbacks, disappointments, heartaches. Matter of fact, Lord, some things we can't even describe that have happened to us. We didn't believe it ourselves. If we had not been the first party of the first part of the first part, we would not have thought this could have happened. But look at us now. We're standing on our feet, making a little more progress now. They say down here, Lord, if it didn't kill you, it makes you better. Well, I guess we're testimonies of better, because we're alive. And whatever shape we're in, we give you all the glory, for it is well with our souls. You gave us this day. And so what we've decided to do today is take full advantage of this day. It is the day that the Lord hath made, and we've decided to rejoice. We've decided to no longer be somber, no longer walk around crying and moping, but we're going to get our joy. We're going to lift up our heads and be lifted up. We're going to get our countenance together and sing unto the Lord a new song. For you have indeed done marvelous things. The doctor didn't think we'd make it. The prescription didn't seem to take effect. But you have done marvelous things. And we'll still hear as a testimony as to the power of our God. There is none like you. There's just something about your name. For at the name of Jesus, even demons behave themselves. At the name of Jesus, Lazarus came forth because he heard your voice and knew you were calling his name. Your presence changes everything. So surely the Lord is in this place. People are blessed by your presence. So God, today, meet them in the place of their needs. Hospitals, nursing homes, beds of affliction, traveling mercies, new opportunities. God, when they call upon you, you said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and they would find. Knock and it would be open. Meet them in their place. For you have been better to us. And we thank you. For every healing, for every redemptive work. God, you gave us a stay of execution. The devil tried to kill us, but you kept him at bay. For every deception, every rumor that you put to rest, thank you, Lord. And now, God, for my neighbor, the stranger, and even my friends, Lord, do it. Do what you can do, because nobody else can. We ask because we know that you hear and answer. Come on, Jesus. And do it to your glory. Give this people a traveling mercies. Give this people new strength, new hope. God, bring them out that you might carry them in. This is your will concerning them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hug at least three or four folks. Say something nice to them. Tell them, I'm counting on you to come through. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.